Let's turn in our Bibles to the letter of 1 John. It's a New Testament book, 1 John, towards the end of your Bible. 1 John chapter 3. And if you find Hebrews, just go a couple more books to the right. If you find Revelation, you've gone a little bit too far, go to the left. 1 John chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 11 through 18. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. God's word says this, starting at verse 11. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. We are in our fourth and final week of Advent, the season that leads up to Christmas. We have the Advent wreath here, and today a fourth candle has been lit. And each candle, each Sunday, is represented by a different word. Week number one was hope. I do not hope that I am saved. I am saved because I have hope. Week number two was peace. And it's not peace as the world knows it. It's godly peace. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace guards our hearts. Week number three was joy. Joy is the assurance of knowing that the absolute worst thing that could happen to a person, which is dying and going to hell, will never happen to us as believers. Therefore, joy excites our hearts. Today we move into our fourth and final word of the Advent season. And today's word is love. Love. And love, just like peace and joy, is also a fruit of the Spirit. If hope changes our hearts, and if peace guards our hearts, and if joy excites our hearts, then love should flow from our hearts. Love flows from our hearts. Love is something that can be given, and it is something that can be received. But for this morning, I'm just going to look at love as something that we need to give. We'll look at it this morning as something that really needs to flow from our hearts. You know, usually I look up Webster's definition of a certain word. But for this week, for the word love, I refuse to look up Webster's dictionary definition. And I don't know exactly why. Maybe it was because I was afraid to be led in a certain direction, whatever direction that definition would give me. So, since I don't know Webster's definition, I'm going to give you two definitions this morning. The first one's going to be Mike's definition of the word love. And then the second will be the biblical, or the really true definition of the word love. But if someone were to ask me, Mike, what is love? What would be my response? I would have to say something like this. Love is always putting God first before me. Love is putting my wife first before me. Love is putting my family first before me. Love is putting you first before me. Love means that I need to make room in my heart for others. Love means that my world no longer centers on me. And it sounds a whole lot like my definition of love is based on what Jesus says about discipleship. Jesus says this about discipleship. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. First two words, deny yourself, then follow me. Perhaps being a follower of Jesus and showing love have something in common? Well, that's my definition of love, and I'll never admit that I'm always good at it. Okay? I'll never admit that I'm always good at it. Why? Because love goes against the grain of our human nature. And love is certainly foreign to the human condition. Love, in its purest form, is unconditional. Unconditional. But we are sometimes really good at placing conditions on our love, aren't we? It's not unusual to hear someone say this, "Well, if you love me, then you will do such and such and such and such. If you love me, this is what you will do." When more than likely that such and such that we come up with has something to do with satisfying their wants and their needs and not the other way around. Let's face it, even as Christians, it's very difficult to leave me behind. We have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. That's our hope. We are guarded from the anxieties of this world, and that's peace. Our eternity is secure as believers, and that's joy. And I believe when we really understand these three things, hope and peace and joy, that we have been freely given, then the question should be, what should be our response to that? It should be love. Love should flow freely from our hearts. When asked, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus replied with this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love God and love others. Love God and love others. Love others as you love yourself. How do you love yourself? So how do we do with love flowing from our hearts? How do we love God? Question you need to ask yourself. How do we love our neighbor? Question you need to ask yourself. How do you love the other people that are sitting in this room here this morning? It's a question you need to ask yourself. In our scripture reading this morning, the Apostle John tells us not to love with words or with tongue, but with actions and in truth. So why would he say this? And I think I have a very good reason why he would. Because sometimes, our words can be just lip service, and we have no action to back them up. John's words in this letter sound very similar to what James writes in chapter 2 of his letter when he says this in verse 17. In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. In other words, what John is saying in chapter 3, what James is saying in chapter 2 is this. Folks, don't give lip service. We need to back it up with action. We need to back it up with love that flows from our heart. Well, I gave Mike's definition of the word love. Now let's look at what the Bible says about love. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians is a New Testament book. And I'll go there. We're going to read some very, very familiar scripture here in verse 13, and I'm going to start at verse number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you've ever been to a wedding recently, you have probably heard these words being read by the preacher. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting with verse 4. If my definition really didn't sit well with you, well, how about the Bible's definition? Let's see what the Bible says about love. Starting with verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, and it does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. Well, that certainly has my definition beat, that's for sure. But the Apostle Paul, who was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he wrote this, he tells us what love is and what love should not be. On the positive side, he says this: love is patient and it's kind, and it rejoices with the truth, and it protects and it trusts, and it hopes and it perseveres. But he also gives the negative side, what love is not. It does not envy, it does not boast, and it is not proud or rude or self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. It does not delight in evil. Wow, that's quite a list. What happens when we go through that list one by one and we do a self-examination on how we do with love? What do we find out about ourselves? If this is love, then how good are we at allowing love to flow from our hearts? The journey of a Christian has a goal of becoming more Christ-like every day. So for the remainder of our time this morning, I want to look at each one of these very quickly, each one of these attributes that are listed here, and let's see how Jesus did with them. If it's our goal, if we are being molded like clay into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ as believers, then how do we do with love? Let's look at the positive ones first. Love is patient. Love is patient. How many times did Jesus have to say to his disciples, "O ye of little faith"? I can just imagine how many times Jesus just had to stand there and just shake his head and say to himself, "Aren't these guys going to get it?" He had to be patient with a bunch of fishermen, a tax collector, and a doubter. Love is kind. Jesus had absolutely no problems eating with sinners and talking with a Samaritan woman. Kind, a Samaritan woman. She had two strikes against her. She was a Samaritan, and she was a woman. Well, let's throw a third strike against her. She already had five husbands. Jesus had no problem talking to people like that. Jesus did not have favorites. He was kind to everybody. Love rejoices with the truth. Jesus was all about truth. He tells us in John chapter 14, verse 6, that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father except through me. And he also tells us this in John 8:32, the truth will set you free. Love always protects. In John chapter 17, verse 12, Jesus tells us that he protects those whom the Father has given him. Therefore, our eternity is secure, and Jesus is an intercessor. We are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood is protecting us as believers. Love, trust. You know, Jesus never trusted in man, but he always trusted in the perfect will of his Father. Do you trust in the perfect will of the Father? When you feel that nudging and the Holy Spirit or God telling you that this is what you need to do or this is what you need to say? Love always hopes. Jesus knew that His sacrifice on the cross would bring redemption to all who believe. Love perseveres, regardless of the earthly circumstances that Jesus went through. Every hour and every minute was an opportunity to preach the good news to all who had ears to hear. He never wasted any moments of His earthly ministry. Now let's look at the negative side of love, the things that it is not. Love does not envy. You know, Jesus didn't have much when it came to possessions compared to some other people, but that wasn't a priority of His. And there might have even been some other prophets that had more followers than what Jesus did, but that wasn't important to Him. Jesus focused on one thing, His mission, to preach the good news. Love does not boast. If anybody had a good reason to boast, Jesus had a real good reason to boast. He could have boasted about who He was. He could have walked around the Jerusalem and the different areas around near Galilee and said, "Hey, listen, people, I'm the Son of God." But He never do that. He never did that. He never used that to His advantage, because He knew what? That His true followers would come by faith. Love is not proud, because pride is all about self. And Jesus was the most selfless person ever to walk the face of the earth. Do we sometimes let pride get in the way of things that we do? Love is not rude. Jesus was willing that anyone who has ears to hear His message and believes would be saved. And that included the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, and the people who were going to condemn Him and put Him to death. Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do. Love is not self-seeking. Jesus always, always, always diverted all the glory to the Father and none to Himself. And three times when Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, He resisted these three things. He resisted food, He resisted power, and He resisted popularity. Because those things appeal to our flesh now, don't they? Food, power, popularity. The devil promised them all. But Jesus wasn't going to give in. Love is not easily angered. What would we do if we were betrayed by one of our best friends? I think the term that I hear nowadays is thrown under the bus. What if your best friend threw you under the bus? Jesus was betrayed by Judas, one of His 12. Didn't make Him angry. Jesus knew it was part of the sovereign plan of God. Love does not delight in evil. In John chapter 8, Jesus never condemns the adulterous woman. But He does tell her this, "Go and sin no more." In John chapter 5, Jesus says this to the lame man that He just cured. He says this, "Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." Jesus never, ever, ever gives us a just cause to sin. I saved this one for last. Maybe it's because it hits home with me, and maybe it hits home with somebody else in here. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Peter denied Jesus three times. Thomas doubted that Jesus even rose from the dead. James and John wanted positions of power in God's kingdom. And even at the very end, when Jesus was going to ascend into heaven, he didn't look at those guys and say, do you remember when you did this? Do you remember when you did this? You remember, Thomas, you remember when you doubted me? Peter? I think too often we, as human beings, we carry that silver bullet, that record of wrong. And we keep it right here in our pocket because we want to keep it close to us, because just in case someone else has something on us, we have our gun ready and we can take that bullet out and we can put it right in there, load it up, and we can fire back. When the opportunity arises, I need to make sure that I have one up on that person. Is that love? Love keeps no record of wrongs. I'll just be honest with you here, my friends. There's a whole lot of different things that love is and love isn't that are written here. But boy, I wish I could have a memory that forgets a whole lot of stuff. Because too often I just want to bring that stuff just right back up again. So, as a Christian, do you want to know what should flow from our hearts? If you ever want to know that, just go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And when we arrive at the point in our Christian walk when we can get good at these things right here, then we will find out what it says at the first part of verse number 8. We will find out that love never fails. Love never fails. Hope changes our hearts. Peace guards our hearts. Joy excites our hearts. And I certainly pray that love can flow from our hearts. And not just during this Christmas season, but throughout the entire year. Why? Because love never fails. Now the words of the Advent wreath ring true. Sure, the Advent season, we celebrate the birth of a Savior. What a wonderful thing. And we should be given all of our presents to Him for what He has done. But instead, a Savior has brought us hope. A Savior has brought us peace. A Savior has brought us joy. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall never perish, but have eternal life. God showed us love. How are we going to show love to others? Let's go to God in prayer.